For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Number 10.
Blessed Savior, we adore thee, we love thee. open to number 212. Have them open to number 212. Now, remember what we worked on a little while ago, because at the end of these verses you're going to have to watch because they go up a little bit, okay? What does the name of Jesus do for you? Have you ever just taken the name of Jesus and just meditated on it? And all the different names that he has, all the glorious words that describe him, who he is, all of his beauty. Jesus. my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they that had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from the prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. Amen. By knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. When you hear the word of God and the profound depth of those writings, and you see what Christ went through for you, you can't help but be humbled. But you can't help but also to see your wonderful relationship with a loving Father. The cross was a hideous place, but it was also a very beautiful place because it was full of wonder. The question is not so much as, why didn't you die for everybody? It's, how is it you died for me? When's the last time you've been at the foot of the cross? Need to go there often. Number 158.
Oh.
sounds like some people would like to keep Christ on the cross. Some people don't even want him to have their period. But you know something? He's not there.
Amen.
He's not on the cross. He went to the cross. But he was also buried. Now, folks, without the burial of Christ, it wouldn't have been finished. He said it's finished on that cross. But how do we know that God accepted that sacrifice? What happened? He arose from the grave. That's how we know that God accepted the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He arose. He arose. So guess where we're going? Number 142. He did. Aren't you glad that he arose from that grave? Amen. Okay. Love is closed out so. Christ came. Christ was crucified. Christ died. Christ was buried. And he arose. And it is because of an empty tomb where he is no more, you can face every day because he lives. It's because Christ lives. And it's at the right hand of God the Father that you can face all the things that come into your life on a day-by-day basis. So next time you're around a little tiny baby and you're holding that baby in your arms and you're wondering, how in the world can I shield this child from all the pain and agony that's out there? But because he lives, you can guide him and direct his steps to see, hopefully and prayerfully through the Spirit of God, the one that came to this earth. Lived, died, resurrected, and is ascended at the right hand of God now. It is because he is no more that we can face every day. He's no more in that grave that we can face every day. Take it with us.
Thank you.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. And with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.
Can you have an idea of what that picture must have been like? We were singing about, one of these days I'll see him in glory. One of these days you'll see that holiness of God in all of its splendor and all of its beauty. But it's hard to see right now. Why? Because the darkness is hiding that, and our eyes of sinful man is not able to see it. There's coming a day when we will. We'll have the right vision, the right sight. And our hearts should be just so enraptured with the holiness of God that we'll bow down and say, You're Lord of lords and King of kings. And I cast the crowns before thee. Number six. Watch closely. Watch closely. No. No.
Thank you.
Yeah, still me. With that, well, to look at the holiness of God, to see the holiness of God, the eye of sinful man can't see the holiness of God. You want to see it? There's one way you can. It took a miracle to hang the stars in space. It took a miracle to put the world in place. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. 3:26. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath the blood of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched.
Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. I would like to read this verse, and then the last part of this verse I'm going to ask you to repeat with me after I read it. But in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, John wrote, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." I know we're living in a day of bad news on every hand. I mean, every time you listen to the radio, turn on the TV, pick up a newspaper, it's bad news. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. We got some good news tonight. Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Can you say that with me? Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And all the people said,
I know that in this world we come to a singing school. We work on all the problems and all the adjustments. Some people say, you know, I can't sing, but you make melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, that's just when it gets down to it, and also making a joyful noise. I never want your spirit to be broken. I make a lot of mistakes too. But like it said in that song we sang in Psalms, the 23rd Psalm, in the song that Brother Roland wrote, one day I'll praise him with a perfect praise. One day I'll see him in perfection. And I'll join with you around the throne of God. In this next closing hymn, I'm going to be going up on each one. I want to transport you from this earth, and my gift to you is to leave you in your spirit at the throne of God as we leave this place. You don't even need to open your book.
Oh.